White text on a black background. MTV Documentary Films presents a film by Post Road Pictures, a film by Salty Features, Social Construct Films, in association with Artemis Rising Foundation, in association with Sons of Rigor, De Novo Initiative. Then, a quote, "Insulin does not belong to me, it belongs to the world," attributed to Sir Frederick Banting, co-inventor of insulin, who sold his right to the patent for $1 in 1923. Then, in white text on a black background, "The United States healthcare system is the most expensive in the world. Studies have found that almost half of all Americans struggle to pay for their healthcare." The following film was made between 2018 to 2022 and focuses on the high price of insulin made by three pharmaceutical companies. Although these drug companies offer lower price possibilities, many Americans, with or without insurance, were unable to afford their life-saving medications. The text fades into a home video clip from March 31st, 1992. A baby boy stands unsteadily, then falls.
Alec, animal!
His mother picks him up and sits on a couch.
Come on, Alec. Good boy!
Whoa.
That first step is a doozy, isn't it?
Alec.
A white woman sits for an interview with a clapper held in front of her face.
Call interview, take two.
Then, a man sits for an interview with a clapper held in front of his face. The clapper is removed, revealing a middle-aged black man. Then Nicole.
I remember every single day.
A series of archival photos shows Alec growing up.
Birthdays, vacations, weekend trips.
The slideshow continues as James speaks.
Watching him grow up as a toddler to a young man, to a handsome 6-foot man, it was the best.
He wasn't the oldest, but he acted like the big brother to everybody.
Every stint of the word, when you say big brother, that was Alan.
Now! 5. Go!
3, 2, 1.
I remember him always being funny, laughing.
Ugh.
Funny.
Oh, come on.
You're supposed to be asleep.
I remember Alec always had a hat on. Those were his two addictions, sunglasses and baseball caps.
A series of images shows 20-something Alec wearing sunglasses and baseball caps.
I remember all of the 4th of July weekends.
In an archival video, a red firework explodes.
4th of July was his favorite holiday ever.
He could do without the Christmas presents. Just give him fireworks, too.
In an archival video, Alec gazes into the camera with a baseball cap and a soft smile. Nicole looks off to the side, blinking.
But
her eyes well with tears.
I have a hard time remembering things that happened.
Nicole stares off to the side.
From the time his body was found until the day of the funeral.
Then, a snowy suburban street in the daytime. White text appears. Minnesota, 2018. A close-up on the door of a home shows a poster with a Martin Luther King quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Then, Nicole sits in her living room looking at her phone. She's wearing a shirt that reads, "Access to insulin is a human right." She navigates to an article with the headline, "Gottlieb blasts high insulin prices, touts far-off new rules he says will spur competition in that market." James picks up a glass vial containing a powder. Then, white text appears on a black background. Alec Smith had type 1 diabetes. To live with this condition, he needed multiple insulin injections a day. He could not afford his insulin.
Were you able to start the car?
Yep. I think the car started. Car started.
The glass vial sits in front of a framed photo of Alec. White text appears beside it. Alec's ashes, May 20th, 1991 to June 27th, 2017. Then, white text appears on a black background. It's been almost 18 months since Alec's death. Then, Nicole zips up her boots while James holds a leather folder, picture frame, and the vial of ashes. They walk to their car on a pathway cleared in the snow. White text appears, Nicole and James. Then, they drive.
Which building is it that we're in? We're in the cap? We're in the main building?
White text appears, cost of insulin roundtable, Minnesota State Capitol.
We made a pact that no other family will go through the pain that we're going through. We're trying to make a change, a difference in the system. I don't want to see anyone else suffer. I hear too many names along with Alec. Enough is enough.
So we have you on that side of the table.
Okay. never ever pictured myself to be the type of person to be at the Capitol fighting for something like this. I think it's a way for me to funnel my grief into something positive. I think it's a way to try to honor Alec. It's a way to make some really positive changes that are going to affect millions of people.
Sitting at a table, Nicole flips through a stack of papers.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jimmy.
Nicole.
Nice to meet you.
James.
Hey, James. Nice to meet you.
I call this roundtable here today because I believe the cost of insulin is immorally high.
We're here today to discuss the issue, to hear stories from all of these brave people, and to work together to form solutions moving forward. Thank you.
I'm scared. I'm scared to turn 26 and get off my parents' insurance. And I don't know what's going to happen when that happens. And it's all about future.
This insulin pen that we bought in the United States cost us $140. It would last us about a week. This is an insulin pen that we bought in Taiwan. It cost us $8. And you can see these are, they're called Nova Rapid instead of Nova Log, but they are exactly the same thing.
Without insulin, I am dead. My little brother is dead, and millions of other people are dead.
Our next testifiers are Nicole Smith Holt and James Holt Jr., and I believe James Holt Jr. is going to start it off.
I am Alec's father. Can you even imagine what it was like to tell people that your son died at 26 because he struggled to afford the one medicine created to save his life? In many cases, it is cheaper to book a round-trip flight and a hotel to a foreign country to purchase insulin than it is to buy it here in the U.S. My son would still be alive today if his treatment was affordable. Thank you.
So my name is Nicole, and I'm Alec's mom.
Nicole fights back tears.
I just need a second. But I'm here today to share a very painful and personal account of the death of my son, Alec.
The framed photo and vial sit on a table before her.
In 2015, Alec was just turning 24 and was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. This came to a surprise to our family because we have no family history of this, and he was always healthy and active. Alec handled his diabetes well. He adjusted his diet. He handled his daily regimen. He took responsibility of his life and for his treatments. While still under my insurance, his bills at the pharmacy would range between $200 and $300 out of pocket per month. In May of 2017, Alec turned 26. Alec was no longer eligible to be covered under my health insurance.
Others at the roundtable listen as Nicole speaks.
His salary was approximately $40,000 a year. And that's fairly decent for the Midwest. But because of his salary, he was not eligible for state or federal subsidy through insurance. And he was left with just two options. One, pay extremely high premium and deductible, or go without insurance and pay out of pocket at the pharmacy and pray nothing major happens. Alec made the difficult decision to forego insurance, but he did not have the money that the pharmacist was charging him for insulin and supplies, $1,300. That's a lot of money. On June 20th, 2017, the last day I saw my son, he stopped by the house with friends. He informed me that he would be picking up his meds in the next day or two. We believe he felt he could stretch out his remaining insulin until his payday on June 30th.
In an interview, Nicole speaks.
He didn't call and ask for help. So he began rationing what he had.
Nicole's speech continues.
June 27. Alec's girlfriend had been trying to reach him with no success. She went to his apartment to find out why he was not responding to calls or texts. His car was in the parking lot. He was not answering his door. And she could hear his phone ringing and got worried. She found an unlocked window and climbed in to find him down on his bedroom floor. Alec was pronounced dead on the scene.
Others at the round table watch Nicole as she speaks. Then Nicole appears in an interview.
He aged off of my insurance June 1st. His body was found on June 27th of 2017. You know, it wasn't even a month. He could not afford to stay alive.
The framed photo of Alec wearing sunglasses and a baseball cap sit beside the vial of his ashes on a table in the chamber room. Then, S. Vincent Rajkumar, medical doctor, professor of medicine at the Mayo Clinic, speaks.
The cost of prescription drugs in general, and insulin in particular, are very, very high. This problem has been quite difficult to solve in the U.S. People have been talking about it for years. Insulin was first discovered in 1921 by Banting and Best.
Banting and Best sold the patent for insulin discovery for $1, one Canadian dollar, because they felt that no one should profit off this.
In 1996, the first analog insulin was sold for $21 a vial. You come to 2019, it goes all the way up to almost $300, over a 1,000% price increase. Three companies, Novo Nordisk, Sanofi, and Eli Lilly, manufacture the vast majority of insulin that's sold in the U.S. Every time one company increases their price, the other one goes up by the same amount. Lockstep. And this has been going on for like 20 years.
Recent studies showed that insulin can be manufactured for as low as $3 to $5 for a one-month vial. Let's just play with some math here. I mean, if it costs $5 to manufacture a vial of insulin, and it's priced at $300 per vial, that's over a 5,000% change.
A graphic shows the price of insulin in Italy, Canada, and Japan.
You could get that same vial of insulin for around $10 to $15 in some countries. And so in the United States, we have to pay unreasonable amounts, and that's killing people.
When you have to hear this over and over and over again, it's almost like you are trying to beat down a brick wall with your bare hands to get people to really understand this is real, this is today, and we gotta change the system.
I thought we were the only family that was experiencing these type of things. The only ones that were having issues with affordability of insulin. And when all this came to light, I was like, hell no, this has to stop.
In an archival photo, Nicole and Alec smile on a boat in life vests. Alec is wearing sunglasses and a baseball cap. Then, main titles in white text on a black background, pay or die. The text fades to black. Then, a city at dusk from above, white text appears. There are over 37 million people in the U.S. living with diabetes. The text fades out. Then, more text appears over farmland. Of those Americans, over 7 million are insulin dependent. Next, Dr. Elizabeth Halperin of Harvard Medical School.
I take care of people with diabetes every day, many of whom are on insulin. Diabetes is a disease of elevated blood sugars. The difference between type 1 and type 2. Type 2 diabetes is much more common and prevalent in the United States and throughout the world. It's more of a disease of the efficiency with which insulin works. So insulin is produced, but it does not work efficiently in doing its job. And that's generally due to that person's lifestyle. In type 1, it's an autoimmune disease. Your body destroys the beta cells of the pancreas, and the pancreas ceases to produce insulin. If you don't have diabetes, your pancreas produces a little bit of insulin all the time. Insulin's job is to get glucose from the blood into the cell. When you eat, your blood glucose, which is the blood sugar, will go up and your body will match that with insulin so you don't overshoot and you don't have low sugars.
Chris Noble.
Without that insulin, you will have serious medical consequences. Your body will start to shut down. It can lead to a condition called diabetic ketoacidosis.
Dr. Halperin.
Diabetic ketoacidosis, or DKA. If your blood sugars are very high and it's not treated, it starts turning into ketones, and ketones will produce acid in the blood. The person who has type 1 diabetes will not survive without taking insulin.
Chris injects himself.
Along with testing of blood sugars. The insulin has to be taken many times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's no break to that.
Chris Noble.
I would actually die quicker from not using insulin than I would from thirst.
There's no way to prevent it as far as we know at this moment. And there's no cure for it.
A road cuts through a forest of conifer trees, stretching out towards a snowy mountain range in the daytime. A car drives along, passing cows in their pastures. A white woman sits behind the wheel, singing along to the radio. A young girl sits in the back seat.
I love Christmas music. I'm the annoying friend that when it's Christmas in July, I listen to Christmas music.
The woman shrugs. The girl sips from a straw and shakes her head.
I don't like this song.
Over a bead heart hanging from the rearview mirror, white text appears. Emma and Sandra. The car continues down the road. A range of mountains in view through the window. A headline. Emergency renews couple's faith in people.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when I was 19 months old.
Sandra's name is revealed in the article.
They almost lost me when I was diagnosed. I went into a coma for 9 days. And Emma was 7 years old when she was diagnosed. 7 and a half.
And what do you need insulin for?
My diabetes.
But why are you doing your shot?
Because my pancreas doesn't work.
I feel like almost like my brain just stopped working. I was so consumed with the fact that now my child has this disease.
In a video, Emma injects herself.
She wasn't shocked. She was laying in the bed like, cool, now I'm closer to mom. And I was just like, huh.
Sandra and Emma hiked through red rocks.
She had no idea what was going to happen after that.
Emma smiles cheekily into the camera.
So how long have you had type 1 diabetes?
4 years.
And when you found out that you had type 1 diabetes, how did you feel?
Pretty scared. Because I kind of didn't like needles.
In an interview, Sandra laughs.
Type 1 brought Emma and I closer. I mean, we're both checking our blood sugar, we're counting carbs, we're grabbing insulin for one or the other, doing her injections.
Sandra injects Emma with insulin while sitting in a booth at a restaurant.
Right before she was diagnosed, I rationed insulin because the copays were too expensive for me to pay. There was no money to buy it, and I didn't know what else to do. And ended up going into DKA and ended up in ICU for 3 days. Which costs a lot of money.
Sandra nods, her smiling fading. Then Emma zips up her jacket, and she and Sandra leave the restaurant. They walk down the street of a small town in the daytime.
And then probably 2 years after Emma was diagnosed, things started getting a lot tougher. I was trying to manage myself as a type 1 diabetic. My daughter is a type 1 diabetic. I lost my job. And then we lost our home.
Sandra drives into a Walmart parking lot.
So when we didn't have anywhere to go and couldn't get into the homeless shelter, we would come to the Walmart parking lot and sleep in the car.
I actually would back into the parking space. That way, if somebody tried to break in, I could take off in a hurry and not have to try to back up.
And how often would you change spots?
Every other day, usually. I was afraid if I stayed in one spot, they'd tell me I wasn't allowed to sleep on their property. And then I didn't know where to go.
Sandra looks off and chews her gum. Then, barren farmland is visible through the car window as it drives past. Sandra sits in the driver's seat wearing sunglasses and staring ahead. Emma gazes out the window in the back seat and yawns.
I've been thinking about getting a job to help pay for insulin. Or at least help pay, like, bills and stuff, because if you're paying for insulin and stuff, you can't. It's hard to pay for rent and all of that stuff.
I want my kid to be a kid. I don't want her to worry about it. And sometimes I look at her and I'm like, you're not 17, you're 11. I'm like, let's knock it down a little bit.
It's now nighttime, and from the exterior of Sandra and Emma's home, lights can be seen on through vertical white blinds. Inside, Sandra pours out the contents of a plastic bag containing medical supplies.
Kind of depressing to see diabetes supplies for a month. Just what's on the table, out of pocket, you're looking at a couple thousand. It's a lot of money, it's a lot of pokes, it's a lot of trash, it's a lot of different things.
The supplies nearly cover the top of the wood kitchen table.
It's very exhausting. I don't think people realize how tiring diabetes is, or even how tiring it is to treat somebody that has diabetes. We just have to find a way to continue to pay for everything.
Next, a crowd of people march down the street in the daytime. White text appears. Massachusetts. New Mexico.
They say that the high prices for drugs are just unethical.
And that sparked a weekend protest.
Those rallying are also calling on lawmakers to pass legislation.
When patients are dying, your greed is lying.
When an inflated price is set for a life-saving medication, someone is making a decision about who is worthy of health care.
Chris Noble.
Kayla Davis had to wait for her doctor's office to submit the forms necessary to get it covered by Medicaid. She rationed the insulin she had left as she waited. Kayla died because she cannot afford her insulin.
We call on the three-legged monopoly to cease and desist killing our fellow diabetics.
The patient that I took care of myself coming in diabetic ketoacidosis at death's door because they couldn't buy their insulin.
Alec died because he could not afford his insulin, and his blood is on your hands.
A woman pours a cup of red paint onto a banner with the Eli Lilly logo. It reads, "Your money or your life." Then a billboard featuring an image of Nicole. It reads, "My son died from rationing his insulin. Lower the list price now." Next, a close-up on Alec's funeral program in a frame. Nicole unfolds a handmade protest banner. It reads, "Healthcare is a human right." She takes out a stack of posters and lays them out one by one. One of them reads, "Access to insulin is a human right."
This is one of my favorites.
She holds up a poster reading, "Dealing with multiple pricks daily." James reviews a stack of papers, underlining a line of text.
Think about what a shame it is that we've had to go to this extent to bring attention to an issue that shouldn't even exist. All these people have died because they can't afford their medications that the pharmaceutical companies are producing to keep them alive. If you calculate it, it costs up to $113,000 a gallon for insulin. And it's grown. It's now the fifth most expensive liquid in the world.
Do you know what the other ones are?
It's Chanel number 5, Cobra Venom, James, do you remember what the other liquids are?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nicole bites her lip. Then she puts the poster down. She shoves a stack of posters into a large plastic bag.
It's crazy.
James gathers his papers. He, Nicole, and another woman exit the house and walk through a path cleared in knee-high snow.
Oh, your legs are going to be cold.
A snow-covered town from above as sunset nears. Nicole sits in the front passenger seat of a car and puts on sunglasses. In the back seat, Alec's sister Brittany looks at her phone wallpaper, which is a picture of her and Alec.
What exactly is Alec's insulin act now? Because it's been worked on and modified from the last time around.
Yeah, it's been modified a little bit. Right now, it would be that if a type 1 in Minnesota finds themselves in a situation where they cannot afford their insulin, that they would just go to the pharmacist, fill out a form that verifies they cannot afford their prescription. The pharmacist would fill it and then submit the bill basically to the insulin manufacturing companies to pay.
Okay.
And of course, the pharmaceutical companies are going to fight us on this because they're not going to want to cover.
So then after this hearing, then, do they make the decision based off of that?
So they will be voting today, and if it passes, then it would go on to the Senate hearings, and then
once it's approved by each committee in House and Senate, then it would go on to the governor for his final signature.
2019, at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Good, how much for being here?
Yeah, thank you for doing this.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Christine, this is my daughter, Brittany.
And you guys got the word out so amazingly. There's so many people here.
I've read all about you, and I've heard all about you from Quinn. I have a son with type 1 also.
Okay.
Thank you for everything you're doing.
Yes, well, thank you guys, too.
Great, Senator Little's office is here. Welcome.
Us.
Minnesota State Senator Matthew Little.
I'm happy to be here with you today. As you may know, insulin prices are a little bit high. So.
What?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking. What really matters today is we lower the price, but efforts are all trying to be thwarted by these companies. And I just want to remind them that they are the ones causing the problem.
Pharma is in these hallways 7 days a week, influencing with their money and their lunch dates.
So you should know that we are no longer meeting with any of these lobbyists. Yeah. At all.
Who's the chair of the committee?
Michelle Benson is the main chair. Yeah.
Do you have other suggestions as to how we can influence Senator Benson?
Will she hear from her non-constituents if we show up at 3 o'clock?
If you show up,
yeah,
I bet you she listens to you.
Okay.
Yeah. You too, but her. She scares me more.
Nicole stands outside the Minnesota State Capitol, looking up at the building. Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen, medical doctor.
I'm a family doctor, and this morning at 8 o'clock I was seeing a patient struggling to pay for insulin. People with diabetes cannot be asked to ration things so that they can't have their insulin.
There are huge barriers in our way to being healthy, and those barriers have everything to do with the cost of our drugs.
Actually, I've got the secret to insulin pricing. It's in the black box.
Oh.
We're trying to find a way to look inside the box, and hey, I wonder what's in the box. Oh, dear Congressman, thank you for supporting us. Love, pharma. Oh, that's that in the black box. They spend pens and tens of millions of dollars to make sure the box stays closed. It's time to open up the box.
Right. The prices have been so ridiculously high, and they've been increasing them year over year, and they don't seem to care. In fact, they find ways to blame everybody else but themselves.
And we absolutely need to pass the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act.
Woo-hoo! My name is Nicole, and I'm here today because in 2017, my son Alex Smith died from rationing his insulin. Alex did not choose to ration insulin. He was forced to do so because he could not afford the price that was placed upon his life.
Nicole enters the Minnesota State Capitol building.
To me, his life is priceless. But to Eli Lilly, Sanofi, Novo, his life was worth $1,300 a month.
Nicole and James sit at a table in the Capitol building before an audience.
There are only two scenarios that I can think of that could have saved my son's life. The first being affordable insulin. The other option would be a safety net. A safety net like the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Act. If this was in place in 2017, I know that Alec, my baby, no matter how old he was, would still be here. I believe that this bill will save lives. I ask you to please vote yes. Thank you for my entire family.
Thank you. Moving on to public testimony.
Minnesota State Rep. Michael Howard.
Yeah, so I've been a part of a couple hearings now where we've heard pharmacy-related bills, and each time there's been representation from the pharmaceutical lobby.
White text appears 40 minutes earlier.
Good afternoon. My name is Christina Moorhead, and I'm a senior director of state policy for the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America, or PhRMA.
Each time it feels sort of removed or detached, rather.
Pharma represents the country's leading innovative biopharmaceutical research companies that have invested more than $600 billion.
The argument from Big Pharma is to lead with platitudes and say this is just not as simple, and to point the finger at somebody else.
Health insurers and not biopharmaceutical manufacturers determine the price of patients.
There's almost a coordinated theater of these actors where they will all point to the other and say we're not responsible, we're not accountable.
Pharmacy benefit managers, insurers, and hospitals are getting billions of dollars every year from negotiated rebates to pad their bottom lines, to lower premiums, or to fill up.
And that's what needs to change.
Nicole stares straight ahead as the pharma rep speaks next to her.
While this bill is well-intended, this legislation does not fully address the issue that diabetic patients are facing in affording health care.
So I'm trying to get my head around all of this. What is the cost of a vial to manufacture for insulin?
Ms. Moorhead.
Chairwoman and members of the committee, I represent the trade association and not a specific drug company, so those are questions I don't have the information for.
So I guess I'm just asking these questions, and I apologize. I thought you could answer some of them, but I don't know if you could direct me to who could answer that question, but I guess I'd like to know at the end of the day when there's only three manufacturers and the market is cornered and people's lives are being affected, how do we ever get to the bottom of it? It's nobody's fault. It just seems like we're going nowhere because nobody wants to take accountability in anything.
Thank you, Representative Listegard. Thank you, Ms. Moorhead, for coming back. Further discussion, committee. Seeing none, Representative Howard will welcome you back for a last word.
Minnesotans are dying. We weren't able to save the life of Alec, but with your support of this bill, Alec can save the lives of Minnesotans. And I'd ask for your support.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails. You are on your way.
James and Michael embrace. Nicole, James, and Michael smile broadly as they make their ways out of the room.
It was unanimous.
Yes, how do you guys feel?
Good day.
Happy.
I'm very happy.
Yeah.
This is a team effort.
Wow. Today was the big first hurdle to deal with the affordability and inaccessibility of insulin. We had the opportunity to hear Alec's bill and a number of other bills that deal with this issue and pass those bills. They will now move to another committee and move through the legislative process. We have about 2 months to move the bill forward and get it passed into law.
Do you feel that the bill will pass by the end of the session?
I'm guardedly optimistic that we can pass this bill this year, but I know that when you're fighting big interests like Big Pharma, there are no guarantees.
Nicole prepares a social media post on her phone. It reads, "Amazing day at the Capitol." Then a series of close-up on diabetes supplies. A white woman walks into a closet.
Get one of these guys.
Kara Mullins.
Bring all that.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes about 2.5 months ago. Insulin. Literally at the start of COVID.
She sits on a couch and sets out the supplies on a small wooden coffee table.
I get to the hospital. The nurse came and took my blood. It was really dark and thick, like syrup. The doctor comes in and he's like, "Well, you have type 1 diabetes.
Kara looks down and shakes her head.
My God, I like blacked out.
All right, pull the insulin first. Inject into the cartridge, run the insulin through. Fuck.
Then the insurance woman comes in and basically she's like, "You have one or two?" And I was like, "One?" She goes, "Oh, you got the bad one." And I'm like, okay. When I found all this out, I literally had no insurance. I had a moment where I freaked out, like, I don't know. What if I can't afford any of it?
Kara sits on her bed looking at her laptop. Then S. Vincent Rajkumar, medical doctor.
In the U.S., you really need insurance to get healthcare and access at an affordable cost. People around the world may not be able to understand this that easily.
Daniel Offrey.
In countries like in Europe where they have some kind of either centralized or universal health care or single payer, you can be covered completely. And so, for example, when you get your insulin, you just go and either it's free or it's a low copay.
However, In the U.S., most people get their health insurance through their employers. But healthcare costs are so expensive, even if you're fully insured, you have to worry about the premiums that you're going to pay to get that insurance. You have to worry about your copay. You have to worry about the deductible and spend several thousand dollars before your insurance kicks in. So you could be in a position where your job doesn't have good insurance and you could lose a lifetime savings due to one illness.
S. Vincent shakes his head, smiling.
Yeah, it makes you depressed.
Kara watches a YouTube video on her phone. Kara pauses the video.
Always.
She surveys her supplies.
Pull the insulin first.
She looks to her boyfriend, Joe. She selects another video.
So it tells me to remove the cartridge and install a new one. So I'm going to remove the old one. So I just use this little tag here. So you want to hold it, like, kind of on one side because the cartridge is coming at the other side.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What? What?
I fucked up. Just give me a second to process. Just hold on.
I don't know, like...
I know you don't know. I just need a minute. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
Kara leans forward with her head in her hands, covering her eyes. Joe looks down and away, biting his thumbnail.
I'll pull it like that.
Kara pulls the plunger on the syringe.
Here, and I'm just gonna give it a good...
She taps the syringe with a pen.
See?
That made more bubbles.
I know, but I got the bubble down from there. Now push those bubbles out.
She inserts the needle into a black device.
Last time you did it, wasted a lot of insulin. And this time it was just as...
That's
old. You're not looking at what the costs are gonna be long term.
I'm not gonna be concerned about cost. I'm concerned about my life. Correct. Learning all this stuff and figuring all this shit out. I don't want to bring money into it. I don't want to think about it. I'm choosing that as a strategic way to keep my mental stability, and money does not help me with that. That will come. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I understand why. But if you keep your head in the sand on the financials, you're going to end up in that place.
If this is your biggest worry, do it. It's not my biggest worry. My biggest worry is staying alive.
Joe raises his eyebrows at Kara. She stares back at him and then looks down. Then Nicole squats in front of a refrigerator filled with diabetes supplies.
Pens, vials. I probably have about $150,000 worth of insulin. And probably easily $100,000 worth of supplies.
Nicole stands before a pile of bins with supplies.
People hear about me, get in touch, and send me insulin and diabetic supplies.
And most of this comes from people that have passed away?
Yeah.
She rifles through clear plastic bags full of unopened supplies.
Yeah, people want to help others. So I take it and then get it into the hands of those who need it.
Chris Noble.
Every day there's someone posting on social media that is asking for some assistance.
Chris types into his phone.
Insulin is not an option, and if you are put in a position where you're gonna die if you don't get access to insulin, you gotta do whatever you gotta do.
Chris opens his refrigerator and counts insulin pens in a clear plastic bag.
I have extra stock on hand, so I do insulin deliveries 1 to 4 times a month.
Got five pens.
Five pens. There I can go. Really use them.
We shouldn't have to do this, but this happens all the time.
Nicole opens her basement refrigerator.
All right.
She pulls out diabetes supplies and transfers them into a cardboard box. Her sweatshirt reads, Mama. She turns off the light and carries the box out of the basement. She then tapes up the box, writes something on it in black marker, and leaves the house with it. A home decoration sitting in front of a photo of Alex reads, Faith.
You know, as long as people are still having difficulty affording their insulin, I'll continue to fight.
The box sits in the back seat of Nicole's car as she drives. Then, Lee Simmons, medical doctor, internal medicine at Massachusetts General Hospital.
In my practice, my counseling for patients with diabetes now includes a lot about how expensive this condition is going to be for them. If I have patients who are traveling outside of the U.S., I do remind them about opportunities to buy their insulin much more cheaply outside of our country.
Chris Noble.
It's really disappointing, to be honest, to live in a country with so much resources and still people are rationing medicines and deciding that they have to leave. To be a medical refugee from the United States going elsewhere, we as Americans need to look at ourselves in the mirror and realize that that's happening, and that is what the American dream has become.
On an overcast day, two birds fly past the Seattle Space Needle. Then, Sandra.
For a while, I've been planning to go to Canada to purchase insulin, but I didn't have money to afford to get there.
She drives down a Seattle road.
But we'd been traveling to Seattle to do diabetes research.
Sandra and Emma exit the Virginia Mason Medical Center.
The research department does pay to fly us here, and it puts us a lot closer to the Canadian border, which is great, but it's still not enough.
Your checking account available balance is $3,505. Your balance includes two recent direct deposits.
But I got my tax return.
We're all set.
But now we're going out of the country.
Vancouver, British Columbia, 64 miles.
In the backseat of Sandra's car, Emma pricks her finger with a pen and holds it to a device.
341.
You need to do a shot.
Can't.
You can't.
No, I can't. I'll stab myself like 5 times.
Just go ahead and do it, because there's no bumps for a while.
Emma squeezes a section of bare flesh on her stomach, holding her insulin pen in her other hand. She hesitates.
I can't do it.
Her head falls back against the headrest.
There, I'm slowed way down, so do your shot.
She tries again and again. She hesitates.
Seriously, gonna cry.
Now.
Emma inserts the needle and presses the plunger.
Thank you.
Cars travel down a highway on a partly cloudy day. Sandra turns into a parking lot.
What do you want for a snack?
Food.
Sandra and Emma walk towards a large 24-hour grocery store.
There's a lot of people that are still under the misconception that we can just lose weight or eat healthy and we'll be fine, when that's not the case. Being type 1 diabetic, our body doesn't produce insulin at all, no matter what we eat or what our lifestyle is.
In the back seat of the car, Emma eats a piece of broccoli. Then, the car travels down a road against a pink sunset. A lake is visible through the driver's side window. Emma holds her phone up to the window to take a picture.
Picture I can ever take in the world.
Did you get it?
Oh, come on, cars. You can move your butt.
Okay. Oh, that's.
It's dusk, and Sandra turns into the parking lot of a motel. A red neon vacancy sign glows. Emma sleeps on her side in a motel bed. Sandra sits down on the bed next to her and puts her hand on Emma's shoulder.
I'm doing it.
Emma pricks her finger. Emma lays on her back, looking upward.
Not well.
Then the exterior of the Bayside Motor Inn in the morning. Emma flips through a collection of papers with math problems on them in a folder. She takes out a sheet of paper.
Math is easy for me because I do a lot of math with my blood sugar stuff.
Emma sits in the bed working on math problems as Sandra sits at the table.
So much math today. Before coffee.
Sitting before a hot pink notepad, Sandra uses her phone calculator.
For insulin and medical supplies. I'll be spending $514.84, whereas at home in the U.S., it's $2,750.94. And if you take the total of how much I would spend for all of that insulin in 1 month, subtract all of our expenses, I'm still saving $1,555.10. It's crazy to think of what the difference is. I mean, I could come to Canada twice and still save like $300.
Sandra nods. Then two flags, one U.S. and one Canadian, flap in the breeze.
How long does it take to here to get to Canada?
Canada's the other side of this. Oh, we're next.
Oh, I'm scared.
Sandra and Emma sit in the front seats of their car.
Oh, it's a dude. He looks hot.
Emma May. Oh, our turn. Oh, that's bumpy.
Self-defense equipment on board?
No.
Guns, weapons?
Nope. Diabetes supplies.
But you're not giving anything away?
No.
Okay, thank you.
That stuff's too expensive to give away. I know, it's so weird. Oh, gosh.
A city and mountains can be seen in the distance through the car window.
Can you pay in English money here? U.S. dollars here?
I think in some places you can. I'm just glad that we don't have to drive on the opposite side of the road.
Sandra pulls up to Marks on Marine Health and Wellness.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Sandra. We made some arrangements to pick up some insulin.
Yes. Who's the medication for?
Both of us.
If you could actually put down... which medications...
Is for which person?
Yeah. How was your drive?
Fun.
Yeah, fun. Perfect. I will get this started for you.
Okay, thank
just
you.
Just be a couple minutes.
Awesome, thank you.
In the back of the pharmacy, a woman types Sandra's name into a computer.
Do you know what the insulin's costing in the States?
It's quite a bit more. It's a little over $2,000 for what we're picking up today.
That's a lot.
Quite a bit.
Don't understand how people can afford it, quite frankly.
Right.
Yeah, we've had people fly down, take mm-hmm. a trip, pick it up. We're right close to the airport.
Right.
They just fly right back.
Oh, yeah.
And then they still save a fortune.
Yep, that's crazy.
Insulin rationing's become a household term.
Yep.
Which is very
been there,
scary.
Done that.
That's scary. That's yep. very scary.
So we're giving you a box of the Traceba.
Okay.
And your wear storage.
Yep.
In the fridge. And then we also have the vial. Do you have the actual reusable pen?
Yes.
Okay. Do you need an extra in case? It's no charge.
There's no charge, then yeah, we'll take one of those.
We'll do that.
Any preference to color? There's blue and silver, I think.
Do you want blue or silver?
Blue.
Blue, please.
Sandra slides her bank card out of the reader.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for the recommendations. Nice meeting you.
Sandra and Emma take their supplies and leave.
Way easier than I thought it was going to be.
Jordan Rosenblatt, pharmacy
it's
owner.
It's very rewarding to help Americans in the predicament that they find themselves in with the drug prices. In the States, prescription medicine is handled like a business. In Canada, it's healthcare.
He nods. Then a New York Times opinion piece entitled The Insulin Wars by Danielle Offrey.
After I wrote this article about insulin costs, I was deluged with emails from people in Europe, South America, like, oh, you know, my insulin is free. My insulin costs 3 pesos as a copay. And they were shocked that American patients have to suffer. Like, what do you mean? You run out of insulin. It was unheard of. Based on my own experience with my patient, I began to learn about the very dark, sort of twisted system of how our medications work.
S. Vincent.
So, It's helpful to understand how the supply chain works.
Text appears. Patients with no insurance.
Let's say we take insulin. For ease of calculation, I'll say it's $100 a vial. The pharmaceutical company may sell it to the wholesaler for $110. The wholesaler then sells it to the pharmacy for $120. Now, they kept $10 of the $100. The pharmacy now sells to people who don't have insurance for $130. So now they get to keep $10. So that's what faces people who don't have insurance. On the other hand...
Text appears. Patients with insurance.
Insurance companies work through pharmacy benefit managers. Now, pharmacy benefit managers negotiate with the pharmaceutical company that I will pay you only $60 for your insulin. And so together, the patient and the pharmacy benefit manager, will pay pharmacies $130, but PBMs get $50 back from the pharmaceutical company as a rebate. Over time, PBMs have realized that the higher the price of the drug, they can profit more because pharmaceutical companies are willing to give rebates on higher priced medications. And now that the price of insulin goes up, everyone in the supply chain is benefiting from a high price. And the only person who's not benefiting is the patient.
Dr. Danielle Offrey.
Pharmacy benefit managers have all kinds of deals that, you know, to increase revenue with the drug companies. And of course, no one really knows what these deals are because they're not transparent. You know, these middle people, they're not really doing any healthcare for the patient. They're just sort of, it's just another layer of bureaucracy from which, you know, a lot of money changes hands. Diabetes is growing, and so the market is going to be ever bigger and bigger and bigger. This is a huge amount of money at stake.
In the daytime, a bridge stretches over a river with trees on either side, set against the city in the background. Then, Nicole stands smiling with a group of women behind a microphone. A cluster of men with video cameras stand opposite.
So today we are announcing the federal program.
U.S. Senator Tina Smith.
Next week, on the anniversary of Alex Smith's tragic death, I will be introducing the Emergency Access to Insulin Act.
Nicole.
This type of safety net should be available in each and every state. And I thank Senator Smith for listening, for caring, and for actually taking action. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
All right, we have time for some questions from members of the press.
I have a question actually for Nicole on the state legislation in special session. Have you heard any updates on that and whether you might be moving toward that in the recent days?
From the last I heard, the governor would approve a special session as long as both sides, Senate and House, could come together and worked, you know, together on a resolution.
Have you had any new conversations with Republicans in the state Senate about that? And
those are always ongoing, yeah.
Nicole speaks to Lindsay McLaughlin of the office of Tina Smith.
I'm sorry, but insulin can't be given out on a 7-day supply. So how?
Lindsay nods.
That will have to be changed.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever kind of reason there was for that, I'm not sure. But let's check in.
Okay.
Because we're just announcing the bill today.
Yeah.
It's not dropping. Yeah. And even after it does, we can still, you know, modify.
Yeah.
But thank you, because if that is in fact the case, we do not want to do that.
Senator Tina Smith.
The work that you all have been doing has changed the discussion around the importance of access to insulin, and I'm just so grateful for what you've done.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be a partner with you in all of this.
We need all of the partners that
yes,
we can get.
Yes, we do. I know.
A camera bulb flashes on Nicole's face. Then, rolling past houses in a suburban neighborhood on a sunny day. Water cascades from a sprinkler in a front yard. Nicole bends over a plastic container and puts on gardening gloves.
Do you need more mulch?
No.
Okay. I'm going to run to Menards and get some of that filler. I'm filling that hole.
Filling the hole is not going to do
it
anything.
Is too.
They're just going to stand there and peck at it until they get back in.
Will you tell them to get out then?
Nicole looks at James.
You're funny.
Then she turns and walks away through their yard.
Oh, my goodness.
Next, James.
Nicole's, to me, she's my superwoman. That woman will write up scripts. Anything I say in public, she'll write it up for me ahead of time because I don't have the time to do that.
James hoists a Black Lives Matter flag.
My specialty is doing rallies and letting my voice be loud and proud.
On her hands and knees, Nicole pulls up weeds in her garden, where a memorial stone dedicated to Alec rests. A sleeping angel statuette lays beside it.
We should not have had to bury him.
She pushes herself to her feet.
If there was a way we could go back in time, I know it's impossible, but I would love to switch places with him and have him here.
James stares ahead.
If there was a way we could do that, yep.
He nods softly.
I love my son.
Nicole is again on her hands and knees in the garden, with James standing beside her.
Every time I hear them chimes, wow.
Nicole turns and looks up. James is standing beneath the chimes.
It's the partial song of Amazing Grace.
A wooden tag on the chimes reads, "In memory of Alec." with you in the wind. Then Nicole sits before a computer, typing and clicking a mouse.
They're about to vote on Alexville.
White text appears. Minnesota Senate vote.
468 after line 26. Insert. This is the A1 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Wicklin.
The A1 amendment is the Alec Smith Emergency Insulin Act. We've had a lot of discussion about it over the past couple weeks, and I urge you to vote yes.
The secretary will take the roll on the A1 amendment.
Nicole watches on a computer monitor as two numbers, yeas and nays, tick upward as the votes are tallied. The numbers are often separated by less than three votes throughout. The numbers settle on 33 yeas and 34 nays.
There being 33 ayes and 34 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted.
Nicole stares at the monitor. She cocks her head to the side.
It's so frustrating. I don't have any patience.
She types on her keyboard and clicks her mouse.
I think it's going to take a miracle before something gets done.
Alex's framed funeral program hangs on a wall beside her as she works. Then Nicole holds up a pen above a printed speech. At the top, it reads, "Diabetes is a horrible disease." Two other women look on.
I think this is great. Are you a fast talker?
Erin Weaver.
Sometimes.
Okay.
If I get nervous, I could be very fast. Is yours on your phone?
Yeah. I mean, I have, because it's like the third one or the thing I've done, so.
That's how I had one twice as long.
I think if you feel comfortable that you can do this in less than 3 minutes, then I say go for it.
Erin gives her a thumbs up.
I know I have to do it,
yeah.
But what it takes out of you is...
emotional toll that we experience sharing every single time is exhausting.
It is, and you relive it.
Nicole shrugs. Wispy clouds drift through a blue sky. Nicole stands on a sidewalk in the distance, smoking a cigarette and gazing aimlessly outward. She takes a final drag, blows out a cloud of smoke, and walks in the opposite direction, slowly getting closer. Indoors, two women write on a large piece of white paper in marker. The visible part of their writing reads, "Missing you comes in waves." Another sign in progress reads, "How many more?" A man is crouched on the floor making a sign, a glucose monitor affixed to his left tricep. A woman holds up a sign reading, "Stop killing us," with names listed under the words, "Rest in peace." Men and women are scattered throughout the room creating signs. One reads, "Not one more should have to die. Insulin prices are too high."
Can I sit with you?
Antoinette Worsham.
Yeah, it's Nicole.
How are you doing?
Worried about baby girl and what's going to happen in 2 years with her, you know?
Right. How is she doing now?
She's in college. She's at the University of Toledo.
Yeah.
So.
And that's going
driving
well.
Me crazy. She's away from home.
That's so hard.
It is. I'm scared I'm going to lose her just like I lost Antavia. All because she couldn't afford her insulin. I was 15 years old when I had her. Never once thought that my baby was going to be gone at the age of 22 years old. With a whole life in front of her, a whole life. Have to stay strong.
Hard sometimes.
Nicole smiles weakly. James walks into the room wearing a purple bucket hat and purple shirt reading, "When we fight, we win." He and Nicole hold up a sign with an illustration of Alec, his name, and 1991 to 2017.
Yeah, like you're on display.
Yes.
Photographers gather as their cameras flash. Then James leads a protest.
What do we want?
Insulin for all.
When do we want it?
Now.
When do we want it?
We want
it. What do we want?
Insulin for all.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Large American flag flies above Eli Lilly headquarters. Then, at night, Erin Weaver speaks into a microphone in front of a crowd.
Joshua died 3 months ago tomorrow. The paramedics had to restart his heart twice on the way to the hospital, which was 5 minutes away.
my son is Jessamiah Shear Radcliffe, but we called him Jesse. After not being able to get in touch with him, we found Jesse in his home. He had passed away from diabetic ketoacidosis.
810 days. That's how many days it's been since Alec's body was found. 810 days of pure pain. I've not had a peaceful night's sleep or a day without thoughts. I will not rest until I have seen justice for the lives that pharma, our healthcare system, and our government has taken.
James holds up the poster with the illustration of Alec and sways from side to side. Nicole begins to weep. Singing softly, Nicole slowly backs into the middle of the street.
No justice, no peace!
No justice, no peace!
Justice for Kayla!
Justice for Kayla!
Justice for Jada!
Justice for Jada!
Justice for Alec!
Justice for Alec!
No justice, no peace! Justice for Micah!
Please exit the roadway now.
No!
To do so could result in your arrest.
No!
No justice!
No peace! No justice! No peace! No justice! No peace! Joshua!
Joshua!
Antavia!
Antavia!
Shane!
Shane!
Jessamiah!
Jessamiah!
Jesse!
Jesse!
Kayla!
Two officers lead Nicole away with her hands zip tied behind her back.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
She's placed in the back of a police car, and it drives away.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace.
A half moon glows in the night sky. It fades to black. Then an idyllic-looking riverside landscape with small houses along the shoreline and kayakers and paddleboarders in the water. The wind softly blows reeds outside a pink, pale two-story house. Sandra sits in a large plush chair with a laptop on her lap, typing into her phone. The phone displays the words, Emma and no data.
Your Dex is still not working.
She video chats MMA.
Yeah.
What's your blood sugar?
It's 123.
Okay, check your Bluetooth and make sure that it's on because I'm not getting anything.
Yeah, I know. Grandma already called me.
Grandma called you too?
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye. Love you.
Love you too.
A piece of home decor reads, God bless America.
We're coming up on 4 years of everything being more okay than what it was.
Maybe has something to do with the date. All of that looks good, right, Sandra?
Yeah, it looks fine on this end. What happened? Going from having nothing to having a job, a decent running vehicle. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. I'm always scared of going backwards because I had everything and then I lost it. And how to start all over.
Sandra sits in a large plush chair in her living room working a laptop.
The health insurance I have through my employer is really good, but it doesn't always pay for everything. Even with great insurance, there's still a cost for all the supplies that two people use.
Sandra squeezes out a mop into a yellow bucket. Then she mops the floor of a dance studio.
I work side jobs just so we have the things that we need.
Emma squeezes an eyelash curler around one eyelash, then the other. She stands before a small makeup mirror and applies mascara.
I don't know what I want to do when I grow up. I want to talk to, like, reinforcement, like, police officers. But at the same time, like, people are like, you shouldn't be a type 1 diabetic working with police. And I think that they're just dumb when they say that, because you can do anything when you're type 1. You just have to be cautious. But for now, like, it's important for me to get a good job.
Emma sits down at a fast casual restaurant table with an employment application and a pen.
My mom does not get paid enough to pay for everything.
She fills in her information.
When I turn 26 and I have to pay for my own stuff, I'm a little scared. Like, I have nightmares about being homeless again.
She looks over her application. Sandra fights back tears.
I never thought that my child would really hold on to that.
Sandra and Emma drive into a parking lot.
Necessity of getting a job so young.
Sandra stops the car.
Good luck. Love you.
Love you too.
Emma exits the car.
So you gotta get used to the pressure because it flies.
I'm so proud of her. But at 14, we shouldn't get a job to have to pay for medical supplies.
Emma and another girl stand at a restaurant sink.
14-year-olds should be working for their fun things, not to stay alive.
Emma wipes off a cutting board with a dish rag as another girl looks on. Then, a news report.
After a two-year battle, the Minnesota House and Senate today both passed the Alec Smith Emergency Insulin Bill.
Amidst the pandemic precautions of masks and social distancing, the legislature moved forward with an emergency insulin bill.
This is a good day in Minnesota.
Nicole Smith-Hull sat in the House gallery as the vote was announced.
There being 111 ayes and 22 nays, the bill is passed as amended by conference and its title agreed to.
Nicole holds her hands together in a prayer gesture and touches them to her forehead. In images, she applauds and hugs State Rep. Michael Howard.
When we heard the final verdict that it passed, it was a celebration. It was like fireworks going off.
It was like the final chapter. You know, it was like the conclusion. It was like, okay, we've done it.
In an image, Nicole and James embrace tightly.
So what comes next?
We are really, really excited to have created a bill and to have other states wanting to replicate it. I helped Maine and Colorado with their bills, and there's other states that want to have a similar bill to Alex. Tina Smith is really working hard to create something similar on the federal level. Pharma's challenging the bill and, you know, suing the state of Minnesota.
A news headline reports on the suit.
You know, it's been a really rough 4 years. I was the shell of a person. I was not capable of being a mom. I needed to mourn. And I needed to grieve, and I needed to escape.
Nicole looks up. Then she smiles and rolls her eyes.
And my advocacy was a way for me to do that.
A series of black and white stills show Nicole and James's advocacy.
Since Alec's bill been passed into law, over 600 people's been saved, their lives been saved. So the bill is working.
How proud does that make you feel?
Very proud. Ecstatic.
James smiles.
I know Alec is watching.
He looks up at the sky.
And he's saying, nobody else. He's an angel.
He nods softly.
But, you know, the fight doesn't stop just because we won this small battle. You know, we still have a war to win. And ultimately, we don't stop fighting until we've won that.
Nicole nods. Then fireworks erupt in the night sky. White text appears. Minnesota, 4th of July.
Hey, how y'all doing? Glad y'all could make it.
4th of July at our house tends to be a big celebration.
A little girl smiles widely.
It's just a way to celebrate Alex since it was his favorite holiday.
Hey, food is ready for whomever would like to make a plate.
It's a time for people to to share stories of Alec and to remember him.
Alec, he couldn't get into the damn house.
This is one of his best friends.
Let's try.
You know, it can be a lot of fun, but it could also be really sad.
I love you.
I love you too, man.
You know what? Tonight, we celebrate the bill passing. No one else has to die because they can't afford insulin. My son's not with me in the body, but he's in my spirit.
James stretches his hands up and looks upward.
Long live Al.
Long live Al.
Long live Al. Yep.
That's a fact.
Love you, bro.
Love you. We're always connected.
Before you were born, I asked them if I could name you after him. You're named after a hero, dude. Mm.
Alec's friend Steve kisses his young son.
Ready?
James sets down boxes of fireworks in the middle of their suburban street. He lights them. And then they explode into the sky as Alec's family and friends watch.
Tell them. Tell them.
Watches the fireworks wearing a baseball jersey with the words Long Live Al across the back. Fade to black. Then, white words appear on a black background. This film was completed in late 2022. In January of 2023, for people covered by Medicare, insulin copays were capped at $35 per month, benefiting more than 3 million people with diabetes. The text fades. Then, more white text. In March of 2023, Eli Lilly voluntarily announced that they would significantly lower the list price and copays on insulin for everyone to around $35 or less. The other two major insulin manufacturers, Novo Nordisk and Sanofi, quickly followed suit. But these voluntary actions can be reversed. The only way the cost of insulin will stay at a steady and affordable price point is if the federal laws are passed so that prices do not escalate once more. Then the text fades. Credits. Directed by Scott Alexander Ruderman. Rachel Dyer. Produced by Rachel Dyer. Scott Alexander Ruderman, Yael Melamed. Executive Producer Sheila Nevins. Executive Producers Trish Adelsick, Regina K. Scully, Laron Bromley. Executive Producers Douglas Choi, Dawn Bonder, Marcy Weissman. Executive Producers Russell Long, Sarah Lucas, Zach Kilberg. Supervising Editor Dobie Scheiman. Editor Will Rogers. Music by T. Griffin. Director of Photography Scott Alexander Ruderman. The credit roll continues in white text on a black background.